Give me just a minute to get ready here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let me, want to read you a few verses of Scripture. Pardon me, sister. Found in 1 John tonight. Then we're going to look at the lesson that we've got there. John says this about God's love. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Then he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And then he goes on to say, "And every man that hath this hope in himself," or in Him, "purifieth himself, even as He is pure." And you know, God loves us tonight. And we're going to look at love tonight in a little bit, and what love is. But we've been looking for the last several weeks at different things. And I believe the last lesson we looked at was God's Word. And somebody told me they memorized our last verse. Did anybody memorize the last verse on Psalms 119, verse 9 and 11? Did you get that, Brother Dale?
Yes, but I'll probably butcher it.
Well, get up and do your best. He shouldn't have told us, should he? But let him give it a try anyhow.
"Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse himself," his way.
That's okay.
"Thy word." "Shall act according to thy word. Thy word I have hidden my heart, so that I might not sin against thee."
Okay. And it's good having a coach beside you, isn't it? And somebody to help you out. And, you know, that's good. Sister Bear, she's on her own. She ought to know better. But then the week before that, we were looking at his strength. And then we looked at putting Christ first. And tonight we're going to look at love and different aspects on love. And those papers that I've given you, is our scripture is found in John chapter 13. I believe it's verses 34 and 35. That's our memory verse. And it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love" what?
One another.
And he says, "As I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." And then he puts a little word in there and says, "If ye have love one to another." And, you know, I was reading a little bit before church, and I read something about the lawyer Daniel Webster. And one day as he was leaving work, it was cold and it was raining, and he's on his way home. And on his way home, he stopped by to see his daughter, to visit his daughter she had married, but she was dying. And as he walked in, she looked at him and she said, "Father, what are you doing out in this kind of weather without a coat on?" And when he left, he said he was sobbing, and the only thing that he could think of, here she is dying, and she's thinking of me. And you know, he began to realize what love was all about. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he was looking down and saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you know, this is what we're going to look at a little bit. If we don't get through all of this tonight, that'll be okay. But these verses of Scripture that Jesus gave, this new commandment to his disciples. And I've got some questions there. And help me with this. What is the new commandment that Jesus gives in this verse? What is that commandment?
That we love one another as He has loved us.
Okay. What's that mean, that we love one another?
Well, He died on the cross for us, for our sins, yet He loved us. And each and every one of us have faults and stuff, yet we should still love one another and help one another and be there for one another.
Okay. Brother, you was going to say something? Somebody else, I thought I heard somebody else getting ready to say something there. Okay. What about the next says, "Whose example of love are we to follow?" his example, doesn't he? And he said, what's he say there in that verse? Brother Gary, what's he tell us there in that verse? How are we to love one another? Okay, as he says, as I have loved you. He sets the example. Our love shouldn't be patterned after this world. It has to be patterned after Christ. And it's godly love. It's not worldly love. It's not like the world loves, you know. But it's after the pattern that Jesus set. And then when we show this same kind of love that Jesus had, what will the result be? What's the result of showing this love one to another? What's he say there?
That all people will see that we are his disciples.
And they're going to know by the pattern of love that we have that we are the disciples of Christ. Now, they're going to see that in our life. It's like a banner or a badge that sets out there, or a uniform, whatever you want to call it. And everybody can see that in our life. They can see if we've got the love of God. And they know the difference between the love of God and the love that this world has to offer. And you know, he tells us that we need to love one another. And that's what we're going to look at here a little bit, and at God's love here. But number one, ask the question, what commandments is Jesus talking about in these verses, in Matthew 22 and verse 37 through 39? Did anybody get those filled in? Somebody, brother, would you read me the first one? What? And you know, it says, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what?
Love.
You know, the word love, it means, that means in a moral, and in a social sense. It's not a love like a husband and a wife, but it's in a moral or a social sense. It's a good love. It's God's love. It's Christian love. And he says here, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do what here? Love who? The Lord thy God. We've got to love God. And you know, I see you shaking your head, but you know, this is another commandment, isn't it? Thou shall is a commandment that God gives us here, and Christ has given. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what?
Heart.
And what's our heart? What part of that is Kenny said that's a part that beats in us. And you know, but it's the inner man, isn't it? It's what it means here. It means our that inner person with all, you know, and it when you look at these verses, it includes every bit of us. And Jesus doesn't leave one part of us out. He said we got to love him with all thy heart, with all thy what?
Soul.
And you know, the heart is the fleshly part. The soul is the part that's going to live forever, that lives forever. You know, the Bible said that God breathed in man the breath of life and he became a living soul. And you know, we're not just flesh, but we are soul. That inner man has to love him. And with all thy what? Thy mind, you know, with all of our intellect, we've got to love God with every bit of us. And it's a commandment. And you know, you cannot get around the commandments of God. We can't ignore God's commandments and think everything will be fine because God has the final say. We might make it through this life and break God's commandments, but one day we'll stand and he'll hold us accountable to what he's saying. And he says, we got to love God this much, you know. God comes first in our life, doesn't he? He has to come first in our life. And this is what he goes on to say. He said, this is the what? The first, and what else does he call that commandment?
Great
commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And God has to have first place in all of our lives. He has to rule and reign supreme. It can't be something else or somebody else. God has to come first. We have to be loyal to God, don't we? We have to be sincere with God. We have to be upfront and honest with God. And he says here, you know, this is the first and great commandment. But Jesus doesn't stop there. You know, he could stop there and then we could go through life treating people just any way that we choose. But Jesus wants us to do better than that. And he says, and the what's that next blank there in verse?
Second.
The second is what? What's he say?
It's
It's likened to it. You know, it's just like the first one. It's similar, he says, to the first one. And he said, the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy kids.
Neighbor.
Huh? Oh, okay. Thou shalt love just who you want to. What's he say here? Who is our neighbors? Everyone. We're all in this world together. A neighbor, Sister Bear's trying to catch me on this one. A neighbor, she wants me to say neighbor. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. You know who I'm talking about. It's anybody that we meet. We are all in this world together. People might be living on the other side of the world. Somebody was telling me that they went way down in Virginia, I believe it was yesterday, and way down in Virginia where they wouldn't think they would meet somebody from the church. They met somebody way down there, didn't you, Brother Dale? He said, where was you at now?
Oh, it wasn't that far.
Far enough.
Chantilly.
Well, that's far enough. I mean, you don't think of running into somebody from the church way down there in Chantilly. And he run into one of the people run into him. Brother Keith come up behind him and said something to him. But you know, this world is small. And we're all in this world together. We're going to meet different people. But you know, he said, we have to love people. You know, it's not an option that we choose to do these things.
I was just thinking where he says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. You think about the first, you put God, the first commandment, you put God first by loving him and doing what he wants you to do. But then when he said it's like unto it, think you've got to put your neighbor before your wants and desires too, and favor people over yourself.
Aren't you glad he didn't say we have to love our husband and our wife and our, you know, does he mean that here too? Huh? Some people get technical and they can say, well, he didn't say that. But, you know, it includes everybody, doesn't it? But some people say, well, you know, but we've got to love everybody. Then number two says, look at this verse and identify the source of love. And Sister Kelly, let me get somebody. Brother Frank, did you get that one yet? No?
I do.
Okay, Kenny, get it for me.
Beloved, let us love one another for love one. God, and every one that loves is born of God and known of God.
Okay, what is John telling us to do in this verse?
Beloved.
He said, beloved, and he uses that word, I left blank here. What's that next word, Kenny? Let us. You know, it is up to us to do this. You know, God doesn't force us to do anything. God doesn't force you and me to do anything. We're not forced to be here tonight. God doesn't force us here, but we're here because of what God has done for us. And you know, he says, let us. You know, and he's including us all. He says, beloved. He's looking at the church and writing to the Christians. And you know, this word comes down to us today. And as we read it, we can say that John and God are both speaking to us here as well. He said, let us love who again?
One another.
One another. And we've got to love one another. And what is love? Anybody know what love is?
Somebody hears God.
Huh?
Somebody that
cares. Okay. All right. But what is love? Help Kenny out. How would you explain love?
Love is
a charity. Huh? Somebody, would you say? Charity, okay. Okay.
Long suffering.
Long suffering, okay. But what is love? What do you think of love is?
Love is
caring, giving.
Caring, giving, sharing, being kind. You know, love is treating people right. And you know, God treated us right even though we treated him wrong. And he loved us and cared for us. He cherished us. And he cherished and loved us so much that he would send Jesus to die for us. But he said, let us love one another. And here's the source of love. He said, for love is of who?
God.
God's essence is love. And you know, he said, God is love. And you know, when we become Christians, we become a part of whose family? The devil's? Huh? Are we? We're no longer. But whose family are we of? God's family. He is, that makes him our what? our Heavenly Father. And you know, we're a part of the family of God. And if we've been born again, then there should be the change in us that we have the love and experience the love of God in our life. You know, it's a sign of a relation to God. And it says, you know, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he says here, and everyone that loveth, here it is right here, what's he say is what? Born of God, and says, and knoweth God. And you know, if you read through there, go home and read 1 John and look at those verses, and he talks about, you know, that we have to love one another. If we don't love our brother, then, you know, we're a liar. And he goes real rough, he gets real hard on them there for not having the love of God in their heart and life. But you know, he says here that God's the source of love. And if we're drawing near to God and we stay in God's Word and we get close to God, then what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? What kind of reaction are we going to have from being in God's presence and being a part of the family of God? What's going to become natural to us?
Loving one another.
Loving one another. And we're going to be able to love one another. How many's ever found it hard to love someone else that was hard to love? You ever have that problem in your life? But you know, how many has ever found compassion for them when you look and see the condition that they're in? And you know, and you see where they're headed. And you know that one day you were in that same condition. And you know, this is what love does. It makes you look at that person in a different light. You don't look at them with hate. You still don't like what people do. You know, I don't like it when people mistreat me, or you know, and you don't like it when they mistreat you. But you know, you still got to love them regardless. Look at what they did to Jesus. He didn't look down on them after they had driven the nails in his hands and in his feet, and they had beaten him and sped up on him. And he didn't look down to them and say, I hate you for what you've done. But you know, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you see, love gets past those feelings, and love overcomes that, and love reaches out. It is love that will reach the hearts and souls of sinner people. You know, sometimes we would like to control people. You know, we'd like to change them our way. But you know, we're going to have to let God change them with His love. As it said there in the beginning, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That simply means that God's given us this love, and He's allowed us to be called the children of God and to be a part of the family of God, even in spite of what we did and the bad people that we were. God forgave us of all of that. That's what love does, and love will overlook those things. In John 3:16, if you turn the page in number 3, according to John 3:16, who does God love? Do you know, Courtney? I can't hear you.
The world.
And what's it say there? Would you know what it says, the first part of it? Help her, Sister Kelly. You can whisper in her ear. She knows it.
3:18.
What we got it over here, Kenny. What was it? Okay, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God so loved the world. What do you see when you look at the world now? What do we see? And we see it different now than what we once did. What do we see?
Hatred.
Huh?
Hatred.
We see hatred. We see sin. We see all kind of bad things going on. We see murders. We see all the thieves and all the wars and all the blaspheming, all the awful things that are happening. But you know, when God looked on the world like that, and we are part of it, the Bible said God so loved the world. That the object of the love of God, when we were out in it, we were the object of that love, and we are still the object of that love tonight. But God loved the world so much that what did He do?
He gave His only begotten Son.
He gave His only begotten Son. And what was the purpose for giving His Son? What did He go on to say?
Should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. So you know, that verse says a whole lot. It says that those that don't receive Jesus are going to perish and be lost forever. But those that believe and receive Jesus are going to have everlasting life. Those that can just reach out and take that love that God is offering to them and receive that love will make a difference in their life and where they're going to spend eternity. eternity. Number four says, look at this verse and see if you can tell what the result will be when we obey God's word. Now listen what it says there. See what the result is when we obey God's word. Anybody got the answer to that? Sister Jessie, would you read that verse for me? And then we'll discuss it together.
Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Okay, and we'll look here at what Peter says there in just a minute. But what happens when we obey the love or obey God's word according to this verse? We'll be pure. He said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. But look what he says. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned. Now let me read you what unfeigned means. Unfeigned means sincere. In the original it means to be sincere. It means without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. We cannot tell somebody that we love them with one voice and hate them in our heart. Because that's a hypocrite that does that. We have to love from the inside out and the outside in. And you know, Peter's saying here, this is unfeigned love. It's genuine love. It's pure love is what he's saying. Love of who? Who's he saying? Love of who here? Of the brethren. You know, one scripture that Jesus said when he's talking about the coming of his return and the end of time, he said that because iniquity shall abound, he said the love of many will wax cold. And what he's talking, he said because wickedness would abound. Iniquity means wickedness and the sinful things that are happening all around. He said the love of many would wax cold. The word wax means that, you know, when you got wax and it's warm, you can pour it, you can shape it, and you can mold it. But once it begins to cool and set, you can't do anything else with it. And it gets hard. And he says, because iniquity and sin abounds in our society, the love of many is going to get hard, is what he's saying. People are going to be hard to love. It's entered into our churches. You know what? There's times when people in our churches will treat one another mean and hateful and spiteful. And, you know, it's because of the iniquity. It's because of some of the things that in the world, if we're not careful, they'll rub off on us, you know? And we'll pick up the same attitudes that the world has. But we can't allow that to happen. We shouldn't allow that to happen. We are God's children, and we need to ask God to help us to always have the pure love of God in our heart. And he said the way that that happens, and the way we purify our hearts, is we've got to keep on loving the brethren. We don't all look alike, do we? Aren't you glad we don't all look alike? Wouldn't y'all like to look like me tonight? Be honest. Wouldn't you just like to look like the preacher? And I see Brother Dale back there. Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you don't look like me, you know. We are who we are. But with our different looks, our different likes, our different directions in life, we still got to love one another. You know, God doesn't give us an option to say, hey, you can love this one, but you can't love this one. And you know, you love this one, but don't love this one. You know, in the church, we've got to show this love if we're going to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to show at home. It has to show on our job. It has to show everywhere we go in all that we do. We need to ask God to help us with this because we all struggle with feelings and emotions. And sometimes with anger and those things in our life. We all struggle with those. But you know, the Bible teaches that love will cover what?
A multitude of sins.
And you know, that love in God's love within our life will not only cover the multitudes of sins of somebody else, but it'll cover the multitude of our sins in our life and our shortcomings. And we ought to apply it there first of all. And we ought to say, God, I need more of your love in my heart and in my life. I want to love more. Sister Bear?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was thinking that you were talking about the love and stuff. And, you know, the thought kind of come to me. You know, as family, sometimes when you're raising your children and you say no to them, that doesn't mean that you don't love them, but it's because you know it's going to hurt them or it's bad for them. And so therefore sometimes you say no. And even with us as Christians, you know, sometimes people look at you and say, well, you're a Christian, you got to do this, you got to do that. I might be getting ahead, I don't know. But anyhow, we have to love, and because we love, we may not always do or whatever somebody else might want you to do. That doesn't mean that we don't love them, because we know it's going to hurt them.
So when I say, Sister Bear, you can't do this, and you look and you say, you're huffy a little bit, you got to still love me, don't you? And you know, but that's the way it works. We could, you know, we don't always see eye to eye, but we don't argue and fight over things. We've learned to, we come to a good medium in our marriage, and it works. And sometimes, you know what it is, I tell you all the time, I chew that thing a little bit.
And he does.
But it works. It works. And God helps us. You know, we need it everywhere. On the jobs. Anybody ever had somebody on the job, you just wanted to give them a piece of your mind? How many's ever done that and found out that it just causes more problems? You know, or in school for the young people, you know, in school. And you know, the best thing to do is sometimes just hold your peace. God handles everything just fine, doesn't he? God knows what he's doing. But you know, let me look at some of these words that Peter uses here. First of all, the word love comes, it means brotherly love or kindness and love of the brethren. And it comes from a word, and you know, that old Greek word says Philadelphia. How many's ever heard of Philadelphia? You ever hear of that city, Philadelphia? And it's known as the brotherly love city, a brotherly love, but I'm sure that there's a lot of things goes on there now. But that's what that word means, and that's where that word comes from. It means brotherly love in this verse, and it means pure. The word pure means to be clear and clean, you know, with the pureness, loving one another without any reservations. We've got to learn to love one another. We've got to ask God to help us with that. And you know, the more that we admit to God that we have shortcomings in our life, the more that God can help us with those things in our life. And how many has found that he's done that in your life? I've seen him help me many times, and I'm not perfect. You're not looking at a perfect individual. And there's times when I've got to ask God to help me. But you know, I've found he's never failed, and he's always helped. And you know, once you get over one hurdle, you find there's something else in your life you need God's help with. But he's always there to help us. God is good. And God wants us to love one another. God wants the church to go forth. And then he says we ought to do it fervently. You know, with a pure heart, fervently. And that means without ceasing. That word in the original means our intent needs to be without ceasing. It needs to continue. It's something, you know, if we're going to go to heaven, how are we going to go to heaven if people can't love one another here on this earth? You know, God can help us. And you know, sometimes things do happen, and the best thing to do is just keep walking on. And some things just aren't worth even worrying about and getting upset over. We ought to just say forget it and just keep on going and let God help us. You know, you find that a lot of things in life just really don't mean much anyhow. But then the next one, he says, as I have loved you. You know, Jesus wants us to love each other the way that he has loved us. You know, sometimes in families, how many, you know, we find in families, and sometimes people can't understand the love of God the Father because their earthly father just hasn't been the example that father should be. And sometimes they want to relate the Heavenly Father to that Father. We can't do that, you know. It's the same way with love that we experience in this life. How many has ever been hurt in love? And I don't mean, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend and husband and wife. I mean, you know, with any relationship in love with brothers and sisters. And there's been time when you've been hurt. There's time when me and her used to fight all the time. You know, it's growing up. And I had to take my little brother with me, and I didn't like that one bit, and I didn't, you just didn't want to be bothered with them then. But, you know, you find that you love them, and you realize that, you know, we need to sometimes put others' interests in our life first. Jesus put his, or our interests before his when he went to Calvary. He died for you and me. He loved us that much that He died for you and me. And He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Brother Gary.
I was thinking He not only put our interest first on the cross, but all throughout His life, He was always putting people first. Even when He was persecuted and they tried to kill Him, He was always still putting people first. He never got away from that.
Okay. And you know, I was talking to someone the other day about Jesus being asleep on that little boat. Remember that when He was asleep on that boat? And they came and woke Him up because of that storm. He didn't look at them and say, don't bother me now, go away, I want to sleep. But you know, He got up and He went to their rescue. You know, this is what we should do. Sometimes we have to put others first. And we have to care about others. Sometimes we're just so worried about ourselves that we don't care about others. But Jesus goes on to say here, and He demonstrates it here. I wrote, how did He demonstrate His love for us? And look at the following verses, and let's talk about it. How did Jesus demonstrate His love? What's He say in verse 12 there? Did anybody get verse 12?
Yes.
Did you get it, Brittany? Is it Brittany? Okay, she didn't get it. Go ahead, Sister Bear.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Okay, now what is a commandment? Anybody know what a commandment is? It's God's law. Anybody else know? It's His word. It's a rule. It's a direction that He gives us, isn't it? It's an authoritative injunction and direction that He gives directly to us is what it means. And it also means an authoritative prescription. How many has ever got a prescription from a doctor? Why did the doctor give you a prescription? To make you better, didn't he? And Jesus gives us commandments not to hurt us, but to help us. And you know, this is what it means in the original, an authoritative prescription. Now, I don't know if it means like the doctor would write out, but you know, you kind of think of it in those terms. And he gives us these things and he says, and this is my commandment. You know, he said that you love one another as I have loved you. Next, verse 13, what's it say there? Did somebody get that? Brother Dale, did you get that one? Did you read it for us?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Okay. What's it tell us there about His love? In that verse 13.
He's willing to lay His life down for His friends.
Okay. And what kind of love does He call that?
Greater love.
Greater love. And you know, He said, there is no greater love than this. And He's telling us to love one another as He has loved us. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to minister, to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came to minister to your needs. You know, when you came to the Lord, it wasn't Jesus that needed saving, was it? It was you and me that needed saving. And you know, when we have everyday needs, you know, the Lord has no need of anything. He owns it all. It all belongs to Him. But it's you and I that have need from Him. And He provides all of our needs. He provides our comfort. He provides our health. He helps us through this life. And He said, there is no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his what?
Friends.
So you see, when we're loving one another, we have to be what? We have to be friends one to another. We have to be friends to the unfriendly. You know, that's how you win people. You know, we don't always like what people do. You know, when I was out in sin, I'm sure that if the preacher would have known some of the things that I was doing, he wouldn't have liked some of the things that I was doing. But he took time out to come and visit us. He took time out to help us as, and when we got saved, to help us to grow. You know, we've got to love one another. And we've got to show that love one to another. It's, you know, he said, if you have love one to another, it's not saying that I love you. But it's doing this thing of love in our life. It's action. It's taking action. It's doing things and it's saying things and it's actually touching the lives of others. You know, you can tell somebody you love them all you want. I've known people that would say, I love you, and I've seen people tell others that they love them. And the next minute, they're cussing them and being mean and hateful and doing bad. That's not what love is all about. You know, love is we're going to see here in a minute, is kind. And love has some things about it. You know, he goes on to say, he that, let's look at this next one, and how can we know God's love is in us, according to these next verses, number 6, and how can we be sure that we are in Christ? Look at John, 1 John 2 and 4. He said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is what?
Is a liar.
And Jesus is saying we have to love one another. So if we don't love one another, what does that make us? I didn't write it. If I don't love you and I don't show that love and I don't show that kindness, you know, then I'm a liar. And love, as Sister Bear said, and you mothers and grandmothers and, you know, that's raised children, you know that sometimes, you know, love doesn't have to be abusive, but sometimes love is firm and says no. And you know, but love doesn't just beat and torment and torture. You know, but love will correct. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And he corrects, and God corrects us at times. And you know, he says, if we say that we know him, you know, I never will forget, and some of you heard me mention about the man that used to come to the church where we were saved. And you know, he's supposed to be a Christian. He says he's a Christian, and you know, and the poor old preacher one day, they was having struggles with their kids going to school, and he could have walked right from here to the door and been to the bank right across from the church, and the man had plenty, and the kids didn't even have money for milk, and he didn't care one bit about helping them. He didn't love them, and when the preacher would come to church, there was times that I didn't know it, but the preacher would get up, and I've learned later that when the pastor would get up to preach, his eyes were all red, where that this man had already jumped on him before church and chewed him out one side, up and down another. And you know, that poor preacher had to get up in the pulpit like that. And this man said he's a Christian and he knows God. That's not the way love works. And this is what John is saying here. He's being very firm about it here. But he said, but whoso keepeth his word, look what he says, whoso keepeth his word or obeys his word is what it means, in him verily is what?
Love.
The love of God what?
Perfected.
It's there, isn't it, Kenny? And he says, hereby we know that we are in him. We know that we are in Christ by the love of God that is in us. And he that saith he abide in him or abideth in him. What's that verse 6 say?
He that saith he abideth in him out himself also, so to walk even as he walketh.
Okay, even as he walked, you know. And what's that mean, that word ought? Anybody know what that means? Says, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk is what it means, just as he walked. What's that mean, the word ought? It means should. You know, in the original, it means must. It means it to be under an obligation. We are under an obligation to walk as Christ has walked. And you know that some people say, well, I can quit smoking and drinking and cussing, and all of that's good. But you know, when we quit all of those things, we've got to love one another. We've got to go on not just to quit doing things, but we need to learn to do what's right in our life. That's why so many people struggle in their Christian life. You know, when God saves them, they quit doing all these things, and they're to be commended for that. When they give up them old habits and them old sins and lay them down, that's a good thing. But you know, just to lay down one thing and take off the old, you know, the Bible says we not only take off the old, but we got to put on the new. And we put on the new man after Christ. It's created in righteousness. And the Bible says true holiness. And holiness is more than just the way we dress and the way we look. We ought to look right. But holiness is also the way we act, the things we say, the things we do. Holiness involves all of that. And you know, he said, if we're going to say that we're in Christ, then we ought to walk like He walks. We ought to do the best we can. You know, and when we do the best we can look at our life, and I'll guarantee you, if everyone would be honest, and we look at our life after we've done our very best, I believe we could all look and say, we can do better. And there's things that we can do better for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll help us to achieve those things in our life. That's the only way we can achieve these things, is let Christ help us. Let Christ live within us, and let the love of God rule and reign within our hearts, and walk just like Jesus did, and do the best you can. And when you're struggling, you find you're having a struggle, just say, Lord, I need just a little bit more help in this area of my life, and take it one day at a time and one step at a time, and watch how Christ makes us grow and helps us to grow. He will help us to grow and achieve better things in our life. Paul said, you know, in one church he's writing to, he said, I'm sure of better things. I'm persuaded of better things in your life, and things that accompany salvation. You know, we can all get closer to Jesus. And the closer that the Lord, it is to the coming of the Lord, we all need to be closer to God. We need to ask God to help us. I need God's help. And you know, but then he goes on to say, and number 7, how do we describe this verse? He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but what? What's it say there? He loved us, didn't he? And did what, Kenny?
And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Okay, the propitiation. That's a hard one to say, isn't it? And it took me a while to get it. But, you know, He sent His Son. And He said, herein is love. Look what it says. Not that we love God. Now, if we were all honest, we all have a struggle in our life learning to love God. You know, sometimes we maybe feel that, how many's ever felt because the devil come to you and say, well, you really don't love God. Has anybody ever had the devil do that to you? And you just felt, well, I really don't love Him. But you know, if we do the things that He asked us to do, you know, and we do the best we can, that's all God asks of us. And that's how we love Him. We love Him by obeying. We love Him by keeping His commandments. We love Him by doing the very best that we can. We love Him by looking at Calvary and surveying the cross and seeing the sacrifice that was there on the cross for each one of us. You know, we need to see those things. We need to get into the Bible and read the things, how that Jesus suffered and died for us. Brother Gary read some of those scriptures out of Isaiah 53 the other day. That He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. And you know what? All of those verses are in saying that He did these things for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. And He loved us that much that He was willing to suffer and die, and allow them to drive the nails in His hands. He was willing to allow them to put the crown of thorns on His head. And you know, it's love that did it. God loved you so much that, and Jesus was willing to be that love extended and expressed to you and me on Calvary, that He went through all of this. He said, not my will, but yours be done. And He loves us that much. And you know, this verse says, it's not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. Number 8, if you turn the page. Because of God's love for each of us, John tells us there is something we all must do. And read this verse and see if you can answer, find the answer. What does this little simple verse say? Verse John 4 and 11. Brother Frankie, can you have that one? Can you read it for us?
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also love one another.
Okay. And as you're looking at this, what is it that we are all must do? And I wrote down there the question, who are we told to love? Once again.
One another.
Who's that?
Everybody.
Does that mean just the people that like us? What about the people that dislike us? What about people that treat us wrong? You know, the Bible says we're to love our enemies, even, didn't it? And you know, we have to love. Love has to be the preeminent thing in our life. It has to be a strong part of our life, a Christian life. And you know, when you're full of love, what do we have to shove out to be full of love? What are some of the things?
Self.
We got to get rid of self, don't we? Because you know, many times we're so in love with self. The Bible says that there'd come a time when men would be lovers of their own selves, you know, and lovers of pleasures. You know, we're seeing that sometimes we're so full of self we can't love anybody else. What else has to go before God's love can come in? Think about it.
Selfishness.
Selfishness. We got to get rid of selfishness. Why do we have to do that?
Because it's not all about us.
Okay, you had the same book she got? It's not all about us, but other people. But you know, we have to get rid of selfishness. What other things we have to get rid of? And will God's love push out of our life? Huh?
Sin.
Okay. I'm thinking of how we relate to one another sometimes. Think on those terms. What is it in our life we have to get rid of sometimes? I've told you many times when Sister Bear would sing and get a blessing, that I was jealous of her. I was jealous when we were first saved. And I had to get rid of that jealousy. God showed me that. And God, you know, God said, you know, if you'll do what she does and pray the way she does, God will bless you and give you your blessings. I had to get rid of jealousy. You know, I couldn't look at somebody else and say, well, God's blessing this one, or this one's got this one, or this one does this. You know, I can't live somebody else's life. I can live my life. And God can use me to the fullest in my life that He wants in my life. And whatever God wants for your life. You know, and we shouldn't be jealous when God uses someone else. And we ought to be glad that God is somebody's yielding their self enough to Him that He can use them. And we, you know, maybe we can guide one another and help one another to you know, the Bible said we ought to provoke one another to good works. And you know that, you know, sometimes we like to provoke one another to anger, but we ought to provoke to good works. And you know, we ought to try to find the good in the life and pull it out and dig it out and bring it to the top. And let each one be the fullest that God wants them to be. Helping one another, encouraging one another, and not putting one another down. You know, God's kingdom is big enough, and God's kingdom has enough work. God, there's enough to do that we, you know, there's plenty to do for everybody in God's kingdom and in the church. There's plenty enough for everybody to do something for the Lord. You see, it's not just in the building that it happens. It's in the world where the church works. We just come here for a few minutes to get blessed and to get encouraged and get strengthened and to share in fellowship. But boy, it's when we go out there that's where we really need to shine, isn't it? Huh? And on our jobs at home and as we're going back and forth to shine, let others see and let them come up and say, hey, why are you this way? What is it that makes you the person you are? What makes you so good? What makes you, you know, and we're none of us good on our own. There's none good, no, not one. But we can tell them, we can point them to the one and say, Jesus is the one that does this. Jesus is the one that helps me. And let the love of God reach out and touch them. Let the love of God be sweet in all of our hearts and lives. And let me go on here. Number 9, it says, look at this verse and describe the kind of love we should express to others. And John said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What's he mean here?
It's just not saying this.
How do we do that? But how do we show it? Or think about that. You know, it sounds kind of a foolish question, but how do we show the love of God in our life?
You take time to listen to other people and to be there for them when they need you, or you know, just to help them any way you can. It's not always that you buy them things to show them that you love them, but just simply being there is what, you know, what I think would be the best way to show somebody that you care about them.
Hey, how many's got money that they can always buy everybody everything? You know that, and when the money runs out, you know, that's not going to count a bit. But love, the Bible said, charity never fails. When everything else fails, love will prevail. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a place of love. There's not going to be a little corner for you and a little corner for me and a little corner for her and a little spot over here. Hey, that's not going to be that way in heaven. We're all going to be around the throne of God. And if we need to love one another here because we might be surprised. Brother Frank, if you and I can't get along here, when we get over to heaven, it might be to God say, well, I'm going to put you, we wouldn't even get to heaven. But if it was possible for us to get there that way, he might set us right in front of the throne and said, Frank is here, Brother Bear's here, and we're right all through eternity. Woo! But it's not going to be that way. You know, we love one another and we ask God to help us. Let's go on here. What do the following verses tell us about Christian love? First of all, it says charity or Christian love suffereth long and is kind. Does anybody know what the word kind means? You know, I looked it up and I kind of got a little different answer than what I thought it would. Does anybody know what it means? What's it mean to be kind? Gentle. Okay. Anyone else? You know what it means in the original? It doesn't mean to be nice to one another in nice, you know, pleasant ways. But it actually means useful. To be useful one to another. You know, our lives ought to be useful to those around us. And, you know, like you said, you know, it's not that we're always doing and putting out things for others, but we put out ourselves. You know, that if we'll never be able to put out anything. Somebody came to me the other day and they said, well, you know, if they had a Christian, I don't know, all that's aggravating about Barack Obama. I said, did you get your stimulus, your big $1 million? No, he said, if I did, I'd give everybody $100,000. I said, well, forget the $100,000. Just give me the $10 in your pocket. And he couldn't give me $10. So I said, well, if you got the big money, you ain't going to give me that either. So, you know, that's the truth, isn't it? And I just aggravate him a little bit. But you know, we ought to be willing to give of ourselves, first of all. If we can't give of ourselves, we'll never do anything else. Who do we have to give of ourselves to first? God. And if we can surrender to God, God will help. You know, I come to church tonight and I was all right when I got off from work. When I get in here, Brother Gary goes, what's wrong with you, Brother Bear? Are you all right? I said, I'm all right, Brother Gary. And I just tired and wore out and just, you know, we just running all the time and just wore out and just feeling all dragging down and tired. But you know, I find out that when you put out and you allow God to use you, you feel all of that go away. I don't feel that way now. You know, and God is so good. When we can be willing to give ourselves to God and share ourselves with others, this is what true love is. It's sharing ourselves. And if we can share ourselves, nothing else will hold any value and we'll be willing to do whatever that God would ask us to do. You know, I wouldn't have to get a big old stimulus to help somebody. And God will provide every need. He said, you know, envy is kind, envieth not, and that means not jealousy, vaunteth not itself, you know, doesn't get brash or rude. Love can't be rude. You know, we cannot be rude to one another because, you know, Jesus wasn't rude, was he? And you know, it says it's not puffed up. Well, I'm telling you, if Sister Bear don't fix my, what I want for supper tomorrow night, I'm going to get all huffy puffy. I come in Sunday morning with two black eyes. You know what happened? Love done took some action. But we can't get puffed up. And it says love does not behave itself unseemly. And that means God's people ought to be well-mannered. You know, we ought to have good manners. And it says, seeketh not her own, what Sister Kelly said, you know, we can't be selfish, is not easily provoked. Remember that, Sister Bear. And I'll have my two good eyes when I come in here Sunday morning. She's not easily provoked. You know, but have you ever seen anybody just could go, you walk up to them and all of a sudden, ting, they done flew off the handle. But you know, God can help us if we have any of these problems in our life. And you know, probably maybe every one of us have something of one of these in our life. And we need God's help with it. Don't be ashamed to say, God, I need your help. Don't be ashamed to admit it and tell God about it, because He's the only one can help us with these things. And says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. When something bad goes with somebody, wrong with somebody, we look at them and say, well, they got just what they deserved. You know, we shouldn't want anything bad to happen to anybody. We all say, God, help them. You know, that's where it comes in. You know, we pray for those that spitefully use us and do things, misuse us and all of those things. We pray for those. And we ask God to bless them and help them. And you know, God will touch them. And I'll tell you one thing, if you pray hard for somebody that maybe has given you a hard time, and at home or at work or wherever, even if they don't change, I'll guarantee you God will change your attitude about the whole situation. And He'll give you strength to make it through. God will never fail you. And then He says, beareth all things. Look at these four things. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. You know, that's, and hopeth all things. And endureth all things. These are qualities of love. And we can take it. And you know, as I look at these bearing all things, you know, sometimes we got to bear. We got to bear with things and problems in life. You know, don't always go away. We'd like God, Lord, would you just bless and heal and move and touch and take and get this problem out of my way. You know, I remember a problem we went through for years and years and years. And as a Christian, I began to get to the point where with Sister Bear's father, where he'd be an alcoholic and he tried to kill us several times. And I just got so tired of it and aggravated with it, and I just wanted to hurt him. You know, that's the way we get at times. We're human. But God had to help me. It would have been easy to take something and just a gun and shoot him. But what good would that have done? But you know, the Bible says, beareth all things, believeth all things. We got to believe that there's better things that will come out of what we are going through. Didn't the Bible tell us that all things work together for the good of those that love God? Can you see where love plays a part? Loving God and good things coming out of it. And you know, He's loving us back, and He's not going to forsake those that He loves and those that love Him. And hopeth all things. We get a hold of hope and we say, Lord, whatever it is I'm going through, I love You so much, I'm going to hold on, and You're going to pull me through because I'm holding on to hope. And He pulls us right on through it. Praise God, but we've got to hold on tight. And He'll take us through it. And then endureth all things. That's the ability to hold up under pressure and to bear up under the things that really aren't pleasant in life. You're in a world that's full of trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's what He told His disciples. And don't think it's going to be any different. These preachers will get on there and tell you, when you get saved, if you'll send me $500 and plant a seed, you'll be, everything will be all right for you. You just give me $500 and you're going to have to go through it $500 poor. But you know, things are not always going to be right. But the love that we have in God and the love that God has for us will help us to hold up under it. You know, have you ever heard someone tell their children and encourage their children with love when they encourage them? And you know, they'd gone through something and they'd just hug them and give them a good love, and they knew that mom or dad really did love them, and that was enough to help them to make it through. God loves us tonight. And this love that we have one for another. You know, the love that we have sharing with one another can make all the difference in our life. And love isn't always pleasant. Love sometimes has to be firm. And you know, because love directs us in a right direction and wants to keep us on course. But looky here, if all Christians, if all of us, every one of us, would practice these things, this kind of love, what effect would it have on these following things? What effect would it have on the churches if everybody loved one another the way that Jesus loves?
No more splits.
Huh?
No more splits.
No more splits. What else would happen in churches if we all love one another?
Church would grow.
Huh? And you know, I never will forget, and you can go to some churches, and I used to come to church where the pastor's wife was mean and hateful. Some of you heard me tell it. You'd walk up to her, and she'd sit right about where Sister Wilda sat, and you'd go over and shake her hand. She'd just sit there. You put your hand up. Well, I didn't want to go to that church no more. And we prayed about it, and God let us out of there. You know, and Christians can't come in and sit down over here, and over here, and over here, and not fellowship with one another. You know, it might be that you're sitting there. But I've heard people say, well, I sit up here, and they didn't even come by and shake my hand. Well, go on over and take their hand and say, how you doing, brother or sister? We love having you here tonight. That's the remedy to it. Sister Bear, love having you here tonight.
I shook it.
We'll talk about love when we get home. What about at your job? How would love change things at your job?
Be a better place to work.
Be a better place to work. Why? Well, I don't love my boss. That mean rascal makes me do things that are hard. Well, that's what you're there for. You're there to work. You know, and when we're on our job, we ought to, the Bible said we ought to do everything as if we're doing it for the Lord. Well, they asked me to do something and I don't like doing what I'm doing. Well, you like taking that paycheck home on the payday, don't you? Huh? And there's other people on that same job that don't like doing some of the things. Maybe the boss don't like paying you. But he does, doesn't he? But what about, you know, we need to love them. We need to love those on our jobs. What about your family? How would it change our families?
Closer.
And we have to show this love, don't we? Husbands ought to love their wives. You husbands ought to go home and love your wives. Pick up your dirty socks and move your shoes out of the floor and make up the bed once in a while. Don't laugh. Don't she feed you and take care of you? Huh? Don't she keep your house clean? Don't give me them looks. You know you do. But, you know, we all, you know, wouldn't it make a better, pleasant home? I'm just teasing you, Brother Gary. He did give me a look, huh? But, at church, remember we're at church. You got to love me, bro.
I was thinking of when it comes to, like, your immediate family and they're not saved. If you show the love of God in your life, they might see what you have. And they see that love of God in your life, and they would want what you have. And it gives you opportunity to share the Lord with them. They might get saved.
Okay. And how about at school for young people at school? You know, love is really needed in schools, isn't it?
Amen.
You look at all the bad things that are happening in schools. And they push the source of love out of our schools. But you know, that doesn't mean that we can't teach our children to love. And they can't take out of the hearts of people what God puts in there. Only we can allow them to take that out. And whatever God puts here, you know, don't ever let anybody, the devil or anybody else, take it out. Don't let anybody get you to the point that you're so angry that you lose your sanctification. Don't let them take that love away from you. Don't let some situation bring you to the point where you lose the joy of the Lord. That's a precious thing to have. Oh, I got to hurry. And how about our Christian walk? How will it help our Christian walk?
Draw us closer to God.
Draw us closer to God. And I want to read you one last thing, if I may. And then I'll close. But you know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. He said, the point is obvious. Listen to this. He said, a chaplain on the battlefield came to a man who was wounded, lying on the ground. And the chaplain said, would you like me to read you something from this book, the Bible? He asked the soldier. He said, I'm so thirsty. The man replied, I would rather have a drink of water. Quickly as he could, the chaplain brought the water. Then the soldier asked, could you put something under my head? And the chaplain took off his light overcoat, rolled it, and put it gently under the soldier's head for a pillow. Now, said the soldier, if you could put something over me. He said, I'm very cold. And here's this wounded soldier laying there. And said, there was only one thing the chaplain could do. He took off his own coat and spread it over the soldier. And the wounded soldier looked up into his face and said gratefully, thank you. Then he added feebly, he said, if there's anything in that book in your hand that makes a man do for another what you have done for me, please read it to me. You know, the love of God, That wounded soldier didn't want to hear the word of God read until that chaplain showed him the love. Put that under his head, brought him water, took his own coat and put on him. And that man said, now, you know, it has to be something in that book. This book, God's Word, it still has the answer. The love of God will make the impression that needs to be made. It's not who we are. It's not what God has made us to be. Thank God, God is working with each one of us. You know, I went in the other night and sang, He's Still Working on Me. And I sang it a couple of times, different places, and people look at you. I'm glad God's still working on me. But you know, it's not what I am. It's what He is and who He is. And it's His love. I couldn't love anybody if it hadn't been for God. I couldn't love people the way that God wants me to if it hadn't been for God. It's hard at times. But you know, God's love always prevails. God's love never fails. And the love that we have in our hearts for others will make the difference. Sister Kelly, praise God. Does anyone else have a comment? And anybody remember what our memory verse is? How many's got your paper there? Memorize John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Now, I'm asking you to do this. Not a hard thing, I'm asking you. Is it hard to ask you to try to memorize two verses a week? And we had 2 weeks on the last one, didn't we? And this will help you as Christians in your life to try to memorize these verses. And when you find yourself in a situation, you'll find that these will begin to shine out as little nuggets of gold in your life and help you when you really need something in your life. Try to memorize these verses. A new commandment. Read it with me. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's let it be demonstrated in our life. Praise God. God loves each of you. Let's come tonight, and if you would, spend a few minutes at the altar, and then we'll go home. God bless you.